Good morning, Newville. I hope the Holy Spirit has something good for you today. I told Teresa this morning when we were down here, I said, you know, I feel protected today. I felt protected by the Holy Spirit. And I have been talking to you about prayer. And I have connected thoughts with prayer. And it is my sincere belief that they are one and the same for God's people. That our thought life can either potentiate the Holy Spirit's work, or our thought life can stifle, can, what's Paul call it, grieve the Holy Spirit. And yes, we can have ill thoughts and we can still go through the mechanics of prayer. You can still do it. But I have a very visceral belief in the Holy Spirit's work in our praying, during our praying, that when we pray, actually something we transcend ourselves almost, and the Spirit itself, the Spirit, like Paul says, comes along and starts to pray for us. And I do not understand how you can, if you have these ill thoughts, born usually from not forgiving, how these ill thoughts can, if we're stifling the Holy Spirit, our thoughts, our prayers lose efficacy. Does that make sense? Conversely, or not conversely, but in parallel to that, I related ill thoughts to an inability to really understand and read Scripture. Your thoughts and my thoughts are formed and transformed, forgive me. By Scripture. And Jesus told us in the farewell discourses of John that he said, the Spirit is going to come. And what the Spirit's going to do, he's going to lead you into all truth. And he's going to take Scripture and he's going to interpret it for you. So if we have ill thoughts and we're trying to read Scripture, and maybe you've experienced that, and you read Scripture and it's just, it means nothing or it's boring, then I have to relate that back to we're stifling the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will, he promises us, he will lead us into all truth. He will teach Scripture to us. He will interpret Scripture for us. The Holy Spirit is like the forgotten God, isn't he? The Holy Spirit is a personality. The Holy Spirit is one of the Godheads, and then we have God the Father, and then we have God the Son, and they all are, they're one, and yet they're three. And the Holy Spirit is no less of God than God the Father. The Holy Spirit is no less than God the Son. And the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit for us, brothers and sisters, is that he dwells in us. The Holy Spirit himself comes into you. If and when you've gone through repentance, they say to Peter in the second chapter of Acts, when he delivers a powerful sermon to them, and they're pierced to the heart, and they say to Peter, well, what should we do? And Peter says, repent, all of you, and then the next thing he says, then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And as I see it, that's the battle. It's the battle for me. Is, do I stifle the Holy Spirit? And are you stifling the Holy Spirit? Because I think it's a very insidious, easy thing to do. But I want the Spirit to pray for me. I want the Spirit to interpret Scripture for me. And that's where thoughts matter. I do not separate, for God's people, I do not separate thoughts from prayer. I think they are interwoven, intertwined, and really, as Paul says, we do have the mind of Christ. Now, pursuant to that, ill thoughts and what it does to us and how it stifles the Spirit, I want us to look together at, on the back of your devotional, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal this message today. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not going to allow it. And he's tried to. The last 10 days, Teresa and I took my bride out to a Valentine's dinner Thursday night. And you know something I do when we go out to eat? Guys, maybe I've mentioned this before, but perk up here, because I write down, this is totally off the subject, but I write down what are called talking points. Talking points on little pieces of paper, and I do 10 of them. And I fold them up, and I put a number on top of the paper, and then I put them on the between us on the table. And 1, 2, 3, through 10. And all Teresa sees is the number. And then I say, okay, pick a number. And she picks a number, and then she hands it to me, and I open it up, and I see what the talking point is, and I hand it to her, and she reads it. And then that is something for us to talk about. It's really good. Because sometimes, you know, if you go out to dinner, you kind of conversation can run dry sometimes. If you don't, you know, what are we going to talk about? But the talking points. And we sat at the restaurant down there for, 3 hours with these talking points. And one of the talking points was, I just said, what a week. Because for the last 10 days, Teresa and I have been on a... I don't even know how to describe the last 10 days for us. Bam, bam, attack, 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 you know. And just it's just been really kind of difficult. And so I'm not going to allow the enemy to rob God's people, you, of the importance of today's message. Because I think that what we're going to talk about today, that every one of you, and I know I will, that I struggle with. Every single one of us struggles with this. And what Paul talks about, waging war. And he starts out, look at 2 Corinthians with me. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We are in a cosmic struggle. You're in it. Paul says, you don't live in the world, but you're in the world. And Paul also says, we wage war. The difference is, we don't wage war like the world does. How does the world wage war? Where is the war at? How does the enemy come at you? Where does he come at you? I have never walked down the street and had a confrontation with face to face with Satan. But he does come at you and he does come at me. Now, perk up, listen to this. This can help you tremendously. In our heads. In our thoughts. Isn't that the battle? Isn't that where the war is waged for you and for me? Our thought life. So we're in the world, Paul says, and we wage war, but we don't wage war the way the world does. How does the world wage war? What does the world do when somebody comes at them, when there's conflict between people in the world, what are the weapons that the world uses? Destruction, isn't it? Attack them. Hate them. Criticize them. Character assassination. And ultimately, Jesus said, ultimately, kill them. Kill them. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you hate your brother or sister, you've killed them. You've committed murder. Have you been attacked? Someone coming at you? Someone trying to get inside your head? You're in the war. You're waging war. But Paul says, don't wage war the way the world does, because the world comes at us and tells us, you use these tactics. Unforgiving. Well, we don't wage war as the world does. No. Verse 4 then, the weapons we fight with. You see, there's the difference. If you don't think you're in a war, then I'm going to suggest something to you. And if you don't hear the bullets whizzing over your head, I'm going to suggest something to you very gently. You might not be engaged in the battle. What Teresa and I have discovered, if you're in the battle, he's coming. The war's coming to your door. And so we have to be equipped. I need to be equipped for tomorrow morning to do battle, to wage the war that we're in. And what's the difference? There it is. It's the weapons we use. The weapons. No, Paul says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. If you had to describe in one word what the weapons of the world is, I think the word would be self. Write that down, maybe. Self. The weapons that the world uses in this war that we're in revolve around one thing, self. Self is the enemy of God's people. No, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, well, what are these weapons like, Paul? He says, they're not like the world's weapons. You're in the war, you live in the world, you wage war, there's no way around it, and you've been given weapons, and that's the difference between God's people and the people of the world. It is the weapons that they employ as we are waging this war. And this is exactly where Satan attacks you and attacks me, because when we're in this war, and we're in it, what the enemy tries to do to you and to me is to get us to pick up the weapons that the world uses. And if he can do that, he carries the day. On the contrary, what's with these weapons that we use? I know this past week you have been engaged. I know that the enemy has come at you this past week. Because if you're a man or woman of God, you are engaged in this war. And I also know that this week you've decided, you've gone to the war weaponry room, and you've decided what weapons you're going to use. Haven't you? You've opened the closet, and there's weapons in there. And you've decided which ones to take and engage to help you in the battle. On the contrary, the weapons of God's people, look at it, they have what? Divine power. the weapons that God has given his people and equipped his people with to do battle in this war that is that we are in and we are waging have divine power. Why would I pick a weapon from the weapon room that is devoid of divine power? Why in the world would you and I succumb to the enemy getting inside our heads and say, you're in the battle, but these are the weapons that'll help you, and they're the weapons of the world. You get down like the world does, and you criticize, you attack, you hate, you do character assassination, and you'll win. No, says Paul. No, says Jesus. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other one. If you have enemies, love them. Pray for them. Those that despitefully use you. And we hear those words and we look at Jesus and we shake our heads in disbelief and we say, that doesn't work. No, on the contrary, these weapons have divine power. What's the purpose of the weapons that we have? Look at it. What's the purpose? To demolish strongholds. How have your attitudes been this week? If you're like me, hopefully you're not, but if you're like me, it's a roller coaster. You feel that way sometimes? I'll get up in the morning, I'll have a great prayer time. Spirit is with me. I'm going to glorify God. God, I want to glorify your name today. God, I want to honor your name today. Drive to the office. Something happens. Phone call comes. Someone comes at me. What's my first thought? More often than I like to admit, what's my first thought? Pick up the weapons of the world. And I get so frustrated with myself that it seems like I'm a slow learner. It seems like I have to go through these cycles over and over again. And do you know who loses when I pick up the world's weapons? I do. I lose. Because I have picked up a weapon of criticism, gossip, hate, attack, character assassination. I have picked up a weapon that is far inferior to the weapons that God has allowed you and I to have. It doesn't have divine power. It is a weapon that is used by the world. It doesn't even compete. It doesn't even stand up against those divine, powerful weapons that we have. Why does it take me so long to learn that? They have divine power to do what? To demolish strongholds. Demolish strongholds. The enemy wants to set up strongholds against you and against me. Strongholds in our minds, attitudes, hate, revenge, the strongholds of the enemy. And the only way that we can demolish those strongholds in your mind and in my mind is to wield the weapons that have the divine power to do this. They are there. They're equipped. They're divine. They're to be used in the war that you're in. And they are to demolish strongholds. And they will demolish strongholds, Paul says, because they have divine power. I want you to do something this week. I'm going to challenge you to do something this week. Whatever the issue, whatever comes at you, what the particular battle that you're in, because you're waging war, pick up the weapons that have divine power and employ those weapons and leave the weapons of the world alone. You'll see something. You'll see something remarkable. You'll see the demolition of strongholds in your life. You'll see that thing that's in your head. you'll see that unforgiveness in your head go away, because we have been promised by God that these weapons are going to demolish those strongholds. What are the strongholds? Well, what does Paul mean about the strongholds? Verse 5, he tells us what these strongholds are and what we do battle against and what the weapons are used for. Arguments and every pretense, look at it, that does what? Sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. When you are in a situation, what the enemy doesn't want you to do is to see God in that, to have a knowledge of God in that. And the strongholds that the enemy brings against us is to prevent us from seeing God at work in every single situation that God's people are in. And he does it with arguments and pretensions that seem so reasonable, that make sense on the surface, that when he brings this into our heads, it seems like the right thing. How do we do this? How do we wield these weapons? And here we go back to thoughts. How do we wield these weapons? And we take captive every thought. See this? We take captive every thought. Jesus said, avoid the yeast of the Pharisees. He said, because what you think you're saying in silence, what you're whispering in the dark, what you're saying to someone behind closed doors, he said, is going to be shouted from the rooftops. Your thoughts have an insidious way to get into the lives of others, and they have no doubt what you're thinking and feeling. Jesus said, it'll be shouted. Your thoughts shout. Take captive every thought. Well, that's hard, isn't it? Take captive every thought. Why? Why? Circle 2 on your devotional there. The reason you take every thought captive is to make it obedient to Christ. If you have a thought, if you have an ill thought, if you have a critical thought, a hateful thought, you know what you need to do with that? Pause. Take it captive. Put it in prison for a little bit. Hang, just put it in chains for a minute. Because Paul says you need to take every thought captive, because when you do that, you take it captive so that it becomes obedient. It becomes obedient to Christ. It's a process. It's a practice. Good thinking is a habit. Bad thinking is also a habit. And if you don't think that that interferes with your Christian growth and your scripture reading and your prayer reading, it absolutely does. I think this is the hardest thing for God's people to get a hold of. I think that we think that if we just say the right words verbally, that our thought life doesn't matter. Oh, it matters very much, because it emasculates your prayers and it emasculates your scripture reading. And the way that we do that is by habit, process by process, thought by thought, put it into captivity and just let it become captive. Let it become obedient to what Jesus of Nazareth would do and say. Tracking? Every ill thought by God's people temporarily hinders the divine power of the weapons that we've been given to demolish these strongholds that come against us. And they give us arguments and they give us pretenses of all the things that are against God. Everything that is against God, arguments and pretenses, and there are strongholds in our minds. And we have to, as God's people, pick up the right weapons to deal with these things. I think it is the greatest battle for God's people. I think that what goes on in our heads is the greatest war. And I know it is. I know that that is where the war is waged. It would be easier, wouldn't it, if it were just in your face, out front? It would be easier. But when it comes inside of our heads, and when the enemy brings these arguments and these strongholds, no, you shouldn't think that way. Do you know why you should pick up the weapons of the world? Do you remember what they did to you? You pick up the weapons of the world, and you go at them, and you're going to win this battle. Because when the enemy does that, the divine power, you've been given divine power. I have been given divine power to break those strongholds down. Some of you are in strongholds of the enemy with thought, with unforgiveness, with anger, with criticism. I am putting myself among you. Understand this? I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I understand this very well. It's like Elmer Gantry said, "How do I know there's a devil? Because I've seen him plenty of times." Listen, brothers and sisters, I am with you on this. The enemy has taken me through this. And God has taken me through this for a purpose. And that is to bring this message to you. And to help you with this. And to know and understand that you need to know and understand I am with you. That thoughts and the war within my head is just as real as the thoughts and the war within your head. And I know how debilitating that can be. I know how it weakens me. I know how it affects other people. I know the unforgiveness in my heart toward some people hurts them, hurts me, stops my praying, stops my scripture reading. And the Holy Spirit has brought this message into my heart and dropped it into my heart because this is where spiritual growth really occurs. Every ill thought by God's people temporarily hinders the divine power of the weapons of thought and prayer. The weapons of thought and prayer. You are co-workers with God, Paul says. You're co-workers. And the thoughts and prayers are one way we engage with God in this, what Paul says, this war that we're waging. The war is primarily waged in our heads. I would even say beyond that, it is completely in our heads. And our thoughts, when you employ, you have a choice. And we'll end with this. You have a choice and I have a choice. And that is the thing. I think that I have learned, born from a lot of pain. You have a choice, and I have a choice of which weapon I'm going to employ. And the battle for us, God's people, the enemy's tactics with us is to get you to pick up the weapons of the world. And do you know why? Because he has no answer for the weapons supplied for God's people that have divine power. Stop dealing with that situation on your own. Stop trying. Because you're using a weapon that won't work. Pick up the divine weapon that God has given us. Don't let the enemy fool you into using something else. Don't let the enemy fool you into dealing with that on your own because you're outmatched. No, says Paul, you don't need to do that. No, says Paul. No, says Jesus. What does Moses say? Oh, this, yeah, Holy Spirit just gave this to me. Pharaoh's army is coming. They're against the Red Sea. Moses, what do we do? The stronghold of Pharaoh is coming against us. What does Moses say? Remember? Don't be afraid. Be still. The Lord will fight for you today. Listen, brothers and sisters. You're listening to someone who knows this. Let the Lord fight for you. Lay down your weapons and pick up these weapons that have divine power. Whatever your situation, whatever your struggle, whatever's going on in your head, whatever the enemy's bringing at you, lay down those weapons, because maybe you're against the Red Sea and maybe Pharaoh is coming at you and maybe it seems hopeless and there's no way out. And Moses says, matter-of-factly almost, God will fight for you today. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would bless this and anoint it with your Holy Spirit. Amen.